Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Welcome to The Cut on Tuesdays. On Thursday, I'm Stella Bugbee, editor-in-chief of The Cut.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
This is How I Get It Done, The Cut's series about ambitious women and the way they live. How they deal with their inboxes, people's feelings, their grocery shopping, their morning routines. What do they know that we don't? What do they do that we can steal? It's part advice column, part love letter, part voyeurism. Literally, life hacking. On this episode, I'm talking to Robin Roberts, host of a little show on ABC called Good Morning America. It's the most watched morning show in the country. The word fearless is sort of cliche, but Robin really does seem fearless. She's one of the most positive, outgoing, curious people I've ever met. Not only has she survived cancer twice, she interviews high-profile people like both Michelle and Barack Obama. She's a Peabody Award winner, a three-time Emmy Award winner, and a native of Mississippi. Currently, she's just a New York City woman I admire. It's kind of hard to describe what it's like to be near her. She's so physically impressive. I recently saw her at an event dressed in head-to-toe pink. She cuts quite a path. Hi. On the day we spoke, it was 9:30 in the morning in the heart of Times Square, and she had just come off of her show. I'm not a morning person, but Robin, she's on a totally different level.
I wake up at 3:15. 3:15. Oh, look at those eyes. It's a podcast, so you can't see those big eyes. But 3:15 a.m., I wake up. The first alarm goes off. 3:30, I turn on the TV. I watch like 10 minutes of the headlines from overnight news. I then turn off the TV, and I meditate for 20 minutes.
In your bedroom?
In my bedroom. So 20 minutes of meditation, and then there's 2 minutes of you stop saying your mantra, but you just kind of, you don't just pop out of bed. And then...
So at this point, it's 4?
It's 4. It's basically, it's like 4:02. Actually, it's about closer to 4:05. And I do some deep breathing. Then I turn the TV set back on to catch more of the news and then hop in the shower and I'm in the studio by 5:00.
And how many people are waiting for you? Have you had breakfast? Are you
ready to go? I can't eat in the morning. I take some gummies, vitamin gummies, not other gummies. Thank you very much. I take my vitamin gummies and I say the same prayer, the prayer of protection. And it goes, the light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. I say that before I open my door. Then I get here, and I know how you're looking at me right now. I didn't wake up like this. I have a glam fam, okay?
So how many people does it take to make you look this good?
It takes a village. It takes a village. DeAndre dresses me. Elena is my makeup artist. Petula is my hairstylist. Nicole right now is my morning producer. So they're all in there and they just help me kind of get ready for the day. So I'm in my dressing room from about 5 to 6. And then we say a prayer. DeAndre leads us in prayer at 6:30 from Joel Osteen. He has his message of the day. And then I head out to the studio and start doing promos in Philadelphia, New York. And then at 7:00, I say, good morning, America.
Have you had any coffee?
No! I have not at this Al Natural, baby. Could you imagine if I had coffee? No, I don't. I don't. I may. I will drink water. I drink plenty of water in the drive-in and in the dressing room. I used to have a hard-boiled egg that I would eat. I don't really. Occasionally, I will do that. Sometimes I'll drink some tea. I have kombucha on the set. But you know what, girl? When we have cooking segments on the show, I tear that food up. We had a pork chop yesterday. it's like almost like behind the curtain. So
what time did you eat that pork chop?
I ate that pork chop at 8:40.
So that was lunch, basically.
That was almost dinner. Yeah. But, you know, but and people often wonder, how do we eat on the show like we do? We're just mowing.
Well, you've been up since 3.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You understand our pain.
I do.
So I do that. And then, you know, most people, when they go to work, it's a crescendo. You know, you go to work, you know, you've been asking about coffee. Someone has their coffee. They're asking their, you know, hey, what'd you do last night? You just kind of kicking back, maybe looking at little headlines. We're shot out of a cannon to begin the day. Okay. And then we try and bring ourselves down and then have to come back up. So it's a little bit different than most people are used to.
So you are just coming off the air of a fairly intense morning. What does the rest of your day look like?
Okay, so I will do voiceover work if I'm working on a piece of some sort. I'm in the process right now of, I have a really big booking with Michelle Obama. And so I am pouring through her book. I am doing a lot of research for that to get geared up for that. We'll be doing it in Chicago on site in a couple of weeks. I always try and find, like today, like yesterday was yoga. I had my yoga at 1 o'clock, and it's specifically yoga for people who've gone through cancer, because our balance is a little different. Our bone structure sometimes changes. And so I have this wonderful instructor who's gone through breast cancer herself. And and there was a lot going on in this particular day, because that was the day that, you know, CNN had to be evacuated and all of these. So I'm a little tense. And so I'm seeing off to the side, because it's in our gym that's in our apartment building, and I'm seeing the monitors. And she's like, breathe, Robin. I'm like, you know, so I'm in my yoga pose and I'm looking, doing a downward dog and going, oh my gosh, what's going on here? So it was a little counterproductive, but I try and do either Pilates, yoga, something in the middle of the day to kind of break it up, because when you're doing morning television, you're not really off, because you have to prep. For those people who believe we only work 2 hours a day, that's not true. We don't work just 7 to 9. There's a lot of prep work that goes into preparing for the next day and other projects that we're working on. And I have my production company, too.
How do you prepare, let's say, to talk to Michelle Obama or somebody that is incredibly powerful or stressful to you? Not that she is stressful, but just...
No. You know, I understand. I've gotten better as I've gotten older. That used to, I'm telling you, before... I would be up pacing, worried about every possible thing that could go wrong. If I might ask a wrong question or not the right follow-up, I would be up. I'm a little more seasoned now. I'm more prepared. I have a great support staff. I remember when I was an athlete that I was always at my best if I'd put in the work. And it's no different with the work that I do here. So I just make sure that I'm absolutely as prepared as I can be. And you have to change the way you think in order to change the way you feel. Why think of the worst case scenario? So I make sure that my mindset is thinking in a positive way. And thankfully, Stella, I've gotten into the habit, and I've said this and I say it countless times, because repetition is the mother of skill. Optimism is a muscle that gets stronger with use, like any other muscle that you exercise. And because I've done that at an early age, it's become a habit.
Yeah, I know you've talked a lot before about discipline and your father teaching you discipline. Mm-hmm. And you seem like an incredibly disciplined person in what you're mentioning.
Wait, thank you.
Yes, in general.
No, sorry, so you seem like a very disciplined
well,
person.
Well, to be able to train yourself in optimism
is a
discipline. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give someone who feels undisciplined, who needs a little help?
Give yourself a break. You know, I am disciplined, but I am also someone, I don't beat myself up. Like today, I'm into this Peloton craze. I am all about it. Woo, I love me some Allie Love. I am Allie Love. Oh, I love her. and the other instructors as well. I'm planning right now, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm planning on doing a session today. If I don't do it for whatever reason, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. So I am disciplined, but I cut myself some slack. And that's what I would tell people. Consistency is just as important as being disciplined.
Is there any sort of way to jumpstart your discipline? You know, if you're really, truly feeling unable to get going, was there any advice you would say?
Get in the habit, you know, like, okay, if a friend says to you, where do you want to go to lunch? And you're like, I don't really care. Make a decision. Get in the habit, you know, just those little things. I mean, something as simple as, well, everything is habit forming. And so I think if you start small, it's kind of like, I love speaking now. And I speak to large groups. I used to be a Rotary Club. I would go knocking on, you want me to speak at your... I didn't just automatically start speaking at large groups. It's the same way with discipline. Start with something small. Set some small goals for yourself and just keep expanding upon that. But I just really want to stress that I told you about the discipline and my father and my mother teaching us. Did I ever tell you about the three D's? Did I ever tell you
discipline,
about
discipline, determination, and the Lord?
And the Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord. You're not from the South. You can't even sell us. You're
the Lord.
The Lord. The Lord. I know.
But you do it. You do it the full way.
Yeah, the Lord. But that, see, to me, that goes together. I mean, discipline is being determined, that determination. And I just think that if people just set some small goals for themselves, and they'll just keep building on it.
Talk to me about love and how you make time for the people in your life that you love, being as busy as you are.
Let's see. As we're speaking, it is toward the end of the week. I've seen Amber and I had a date night. We had a date night Monday night.
What's a date night for you?
Date night. Well, I can't really. Well, because it's not really. It wasn't really the norm. There was a prominent person who, at the last moment, had a dinner party for like 30, 40 people, and we usually don't go to those kind of things. We have the best time, and we were like holding hands under the table. It was really sweet. It was really, especially for me, because I can be so. I'm so focused and everything, and she was just like. It was just for a Monday night, a school night, because usually I don't want to stay out late. That was very special. We're going to Connecticut this weekend. I bounce up and down. We were just in. She jokingly said to me that she's back on the travel circuit with me, because I'm allowing her to go on speaking engagements with me. Because before I was kind of like I need to focus in that. And so she jokingly says, she's back on the circuit. So we've been traveling a lot on weekends because I've just had a lot of appearances. And we make time for each other during that time. It's not just going to do the engagement. It's also, we had dinner in San Diego with a dear friend because we were there. It's just making those moments. But it's just...
How about family, friends? Do you text with them? Do you send them messages? Are you sort of shut out when you're working?
I wish I had my phone here. We have a group text. It drives me freaking crazy with my family sometimes. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. And it's called Magnificent Seven. And I'm like, you know, and it's like ding, 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 ding. You know, and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm at work. I'm glad you guys are having a good time here, but I don't need to hear everything that's going on. And Amber's also on that list. And she's like, honey, and she said, just really? And I'm like, oh, like come on. So we do, I like to call. I just like to pick up the phone and actually talk to somebody. I'm not a big texter or emailer. I would rather just pick up the call, phone and call.
Yeah. Right, that's
what
great.
About you?
I'm really bad at it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I am very busy and I don't check texts. So then I get angry messages from my children and my husband like, write us back.
Because isn't it funny? People feel like when they send a text that you're supposed to respond right away. And how dare you if you don't? And sometimes it can be days. How about voicemail? Do you ever check my voicemail?
Never.
Oh, you're bad.
I'm so bad.
You're bad.
I know. It's bad.
How but do I love that with kids. You cannot not check.
I like to call.
All right.
I like to. My voicemail actually says, please do not leave a message.
Because
I won't check this.
You know
yes,
what?
That's, because that's... I had to just say it because I didn't want people to be thinking that it was a way to get to me.
That's a life hack.
Well, that's funny, because I was about to ask you about life hacks.
But I'm going to adopt that life hack. That way you don't have to worry about checking messages.
Yeah.
Are we evil people that we don't want to check?
No, absolutely not. I think it's the loving thing to do is just to say, I don't check this, so please don't leave a message.
It's how you say it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, tell me about a life hack.
You know, I was trying to think of one, but I'm in all sincerity, I like that one because I feel like I give people the idea that I am going to return their call. And sometimes I haven't checked it in really, really long amount of time.
What about email? How do you deal with your inbox? Are you an inbox zero or are you just like
I drive Amber crazy with this because I am pretty doggone good. And I set time during the week to like really go through and clear it out. What I do is send out the emails that I need to take care of, and then I will respond to the other emails. Is that terrible?
Not at all. I think it's a miracle that anyone responds to any emails.
You leave a message. You're like, I'm
would,
good.
You know, if I could put an email out of office that just said, please never email me again, I might
come
do
on.
That.
But I do like email. I do. Of all the ways to communicate with me, email is my favorite way.
Why?
It's immediate. It gives me time to think sometimes of my whatever I want to respond. I find that I guess I'm able to schedule things better. I don't know why. It's just to me, it's a better way for me to be able to schedule, communicate is through email.
Talk to me a bit about communicating with people who are helping you at your job. What's something you've learned over the years about the way to best communicate what you want from someone?
It's just to do that. Communicate. We don't. We emojis. We are just very, we don't communicate. And sometimes I find, here I am a communicator, a journalist, that sometimes we're worse at it than anybody else. I have found with especially my young staffers, millennials, they crave feedback. They want it. They really want it. They want to be critiqued. They want to, and it's not false. It's not just telling them, oh, you're doing it. They want practical things that they can use to be better at what they're doing. I love that because as an athlete, I was very coachable. So we have regular meetings. We call them SWAT team meetings. You know, like we feel like we're the SWAT team coming in, Team Robin, to try and help with the program. And so it's not just, they're not just concerned and trying to find programming for me, my team, but for the entire show. And that's what I love, that we're very team oriented, not just trying to find those stories that resonate with me, but we feel that would resonate with all of our viewers. So it's really, it's just making the time we have. I take them to lunch, breakfast, actually usually breakfast more so than lunch, and just very spontaneous.
What other tools do you use to have your team feel kind of cohesive?
That I'm listening to them, that I'm taking their ideas, that I want their ideas. It's very, very collaborative. I am the boss. And the people that I work with, they want to know that there's somebody that's in charge, but that they have a voice. And that's what's very important, that I make sure that they have not only a seat at the table, they have a voice at the table, and that they actually see it come to fruition, that I actually follow through and do a story that they pitched. And sometimes I'll say to them, and this is really, and sometimes I do it to test them. Not so much to test them, but to know, let them know that I trust them. I may really not want to do a story. And I'll be like, all right, guys, I don't want to do it. I said, but you have to convince me why I should, that you're so passionate about it. Convince me why I should.
What's a recent example of something like that?
Oh, gosh. That's a good example. There was, who did I not want? There was an interview I really did not want to do, but I can't really say it because I did it. And I don't want to think person to think that.
What was it that someone on your team said that finally convinced you?
They made me see that in their group, that even though my group wasn't resonating with us, or it wasn't something that was hot with us, not even hot, but just that was a topic, that with their set of friends, it was like, oh my gosh, and made me just see it in through a different lens. And that's what's so important, I think, about just how I said that, seeing it through a different lens. That's why we have to have diversity. That's why we have to have different people at the table. You know, I've said this before, you know, diversity, great. Inclusion. Diversity, you're on the team. inclusion, you're in the game. I don't want to just be on the team. I want to freaking get in the game. I want to be able to contribute. And that's what I've learned through the people that I have around me, and they learn from me too. And so I'm grateful when they can make me see it through their lens. I will never compromise my standards. If it was something that I was, you know, morally or something opposed to, I don't care. You can preach the cows come home. But if it's just the difference of opinion or something like that, I'm open to it.
This is a question I always ask our How I Get It Done panelists live.
I like that.
How I Get It Done. That's the segment.
I get it done. I just get it done.
How do you get it done?
You know what? I'm glad you asked like that, because there's oftentimes, I wish I can say, like, roll out a piece of paper. Well, Stella, if you did A, B, C, D, you just get it done. You find a freaking way to do it. And everyone's different in
That's
how they go
the
about
determination.
That is the determination. But I know that there are a lot of people who do need something more tactical. Like, they need something to hang on to, something that's more concrete in advice to help them. But how I get it done is I find a way. I find people who are like-minded. I grew up playing sports and being a sports journalist. There were not a lot of women, and there were even fewer black women. Now, if I only looked to them to help me, I would not be sitting here with you right now. There were a lot of men. There were a lot of just different people from all walks of life. And I'm incredibly grateful that I reached out and I said, I need your help. This is what I want to do. I think sometimes we're afraid and we think it's a sign of weakness if we're asking questions. I've never been shy about saying, holding my hand up and going, I don't know. Can you help me here? And conversely, and to be in a position where now I can help others and bringing them along. But I just am really, it is, especially if you have, you said you have children, you have daughters, sons?
Three children, two sons and a daughter.
Okay. Do you encourage your daughter as much as your sons to play sports? Do they play sports?
Sadly, none of my children are very athletic.
Okay. Okay, at least it's universal. Oh my gosh, Stella.
Well, I'm not very athletic.
Does this ever make part of the, thumbs up. No, but my point being, I really believe playing sports helped me. I am a proud product of Title IX. I am so grateful for that legislation that encouraged and taught, and not just for education, not just for sports, but for education. And so I think my sister, older sister, who saved my life, by the way, my bone marrow donor, she's older, taller, more beautiful, smarter, all these things. She never played sports. And there was a time that she was going through a contract negotiation, and I'm 8 years her junior. And she called me, and she was like, I'm going to ask for a raise, this, that, and the other. How do you go about doing it? And I'm giving her all these tips, and I'm like, eh. And somebody was overhearing me, and they said, boy, you're a great big sister. I'm like, no, actually, I was talking to my big sister. And my sister, Sally Ann, said, you know what? It's because she played sports. That she felt more, that I was, I don't know, it's just this kind of like, I'm going to find a game plan. That's how I approached my illnesses. You know, cancer was the opponent. My doctors were my coaches. The treatment was the game plan. And I think that's really part of why when people look at me and they want advice, and I'm like, I just want to shake them and go, did you just do it?
So what piece of advice would you give your younger self?
I would tell my younger self, you know, I come across as being so strong, and I am, but I'm quite vulnerable. And I would tell my younger self that, you know, mom and dad are going to die. You're going to almost die. But you know what? You're going to be sitting here in this day talking to Stella, and people are going to want to hear your story for whatever reason, and hopefully there'll be something that someone can glean from it that will make their life better at this particular moment. And I would tell my younger self, don't be so afraid. And you know what? You're gonna F up big times, a lot of times, and it's gonna be okay. And you're gonna figure it out. That's what I tell my younger self. Oh, sorry.
That was great.
gosh.
Thank you. I didn't mean to make you cry.
Oh, well. Who are you, Barbara Walters? What are you doing to me?
I'm sorry for making Robin
I know.
Cry.
I don't like to cry. Well, actually, I'm a big crier.
Sorry, America.
It's all about emotion. But I mean that sincerely. I think about, you know, there's so many incredibly talented people out there who are afraid. And I just want to I just want to shake them and say, you know, we all are. We all are. Every one of us are. And my sister Sally Ann said it best. She said, don't let fear keep you from your destiny. And all those things that you think are going to make you crumble, I know it sounds so Pollyannish, but it does make you stronger. And it's all about, you know, you don't get to choose the music that life plays you, but you do get to choose how you dance to it.
Beautiful. Yeah. You are beautiful. That was beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. That's it for this week's How I Get It Done. Molly, we'll see you next Tuesday. This episode was produced by Nazanin Rafsanjani and Kimmy Regler, and mixed by Sam Baer. Our theme song is 9 to 5 by the one and only Dolly Parton. Special thanks to Lauren Stark and Kara Fisher. The Cut on Tuesdays on Thursdays is a production of Gimlet Media and The Cut.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.